Maitreya Uvacha Evam Pruvanam Purusharta Bhajanam Janardhanam Pranjalaya Prachetasaha Tad Darshana Dvasta Tamo Rajomala Giragrinan Gad Gadhaya Surittamam Maitreya Uvacha Evam Bruvanam Purusharta Bhajanam Janardhanam Pranjalaya Prachetasa Tardarshana Dvasta Tamorajo Mala Gira Grinan Gadhaya Surittamam. Maitreya Uvacha Evam Bruvanam Purusharta Bhajanam Purusharta Bhajanam Janardhanam Pranjalaya Prachetasa Tadarshana Dvasta Tamo Rajo Mala Hiragrinam Gadgadaya Surittamam. Mothers, Maitreya Uvacha. Maitreya said, Evam, thus, Ruvanam speaking, Purusha Arta, of the ultimate goal of life. Bhajanam, the bestower. Jana Ardhanam, who takes away all the disadvantages of the devotee. Pranjalaya, with folded hands. Prachetasa, Pracheta brothers. Tat, him, Darshana. By seeing, Dvasta, dissipated. Tamaha, of darkness. Raja, of passion. Mala, whose contamination. Gira, with a voice. Agrinan, offered prayers. Gadhaya, faltering. Surit tamam, unto the greatest of all friends. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, the great sage Maitreya said, after the personality of God had spoke thus, the Prachetas began to offer him prayers. The Lord is the bestower of all success in life and is the supreme benefactor. He is also the supreme friend who takes away all miserable conditions experienced by a devotee. In a faltering voice, due to ecstasy, the Prachetas began to offer prayers. They were purified by the presence of the Lord, who is before them face to face. Purport, the Lord is herein described as Purushartha Bhajanam, the bestower of the ultimate goal of life. Whatever success we want in life can be attained by the mercy of the Lord. Since the Prachetas had already attained the Lord's mercy, they were no longer subject to the contamination of the material modes. The material modes dissipated from them, just as the darkness of night immediately dissipates when the sun arises. Because the Lord appeared before them, naturally all the contaminations of the material qualities of Rajas and Tamas completely disappeared. Similarly, when an unalloyed devotee chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he is also purified of all material contamination because the name of the Lord and the Lord are identical. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shavanan Kirtanaha Radyanta Sto Yabhajani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. Quote, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. End quote. The holy name of the Lord is the Lord himself. If one chants and hears, he becomes purified. Gradually, all material contamination disappears. The Prachetas were already purified due to the Lord's presence before them, and they could therefore offer the proper prayers with folded hands. In other words, as soon as devotees are engaged in devotional service, they become transcendental to all material contamination immediately, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatityayitan, Brahmabhuyaya Kaupate. Sometimes the devotees are dissatisfied due to their not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. When the Prachetas saw the Supreme Lord personally present, their unhappiness vanished. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Gyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadama Yam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchukalpaturubhyascha Kripasandubhyarevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna. So the Lord has just finished speaking to the Prachetas, and Maitreya just offers one verse here, speaking about the advantages of association with the Supreme Lord himself. Has been speaking about the advantages of associating with the Supreme Lord. So to associate with the Supreme Lord means to associate with Surhitamam. I'm putting it in this order because of the purport. Surhitamam means the best friend. To associate with the Supreme Lord means to associate with your best friend. Although we may not always feel that way, Krishna is actually the best friend. He's called Surhit, also refers to the super soul. There are different types of friends are mentioned. Bandhu, Maitra, Surhit, different types of friends are there. Bandhu means like an acquaintance. Someone you, like when we were in high school, we would have a person that we would just say hi to during the passing period, and that was the extent of the friendship. You ever have experience like that in high school? Is it someone you just said hi to in passing? That was a friendship. That's called bandhu, like an acquaintance. Then Maitra means like one you would associate with more, but in a very formal sort of way, like in a classroom or some classroom situation, someone you see regularly, but the relationship is not a very deep relationship. It is a formal relationship called Maitra. And Surhit means that type of friend who is always thinking of the happiness of his friend, how to make his friend happy. This is called Surhit, Prabhupada describes like this. So that is actually the position of the super soul. He's always thinking about the happiness of the soul, his friend. And, you know, this is not a tangential point. And the spiritual master being the external manifestation of super soul, he also has this quality. He's always thinking about how to protect and elevate those who have surrendered to him as a representative. Just like, this is Prabhupada's language in Chaitanya Charitamrita, just like the sadhu, the guru, he is like the super soul, he's a well-wisher of everyone. But he's especially concerned about those who have surrendered unto him as a representative, Prabhupada says. And he's particularly interested how to elevate and protect them in Krishna consciousness. So spiritual master is also called Surhit. So to associate with the Supreme Lord means to associate with our best friend. Can we honestly, do we think we can honestly say outside of our devotional experience, which we may be only able to say slightly, that we have friends that was always thinking of our happiness. Always. You know, no other thought was coming to the mind and so on. It would be hard to say that. So to associate with the Supreme Lord means to associate with our best friend. And because he is our best friend, he is Janardhanam. He is a remover of disadvantages of his devotee. As mentioned here, he removes the disadvantages of his devotee. What are the disadvantages of the devotee? Avidya and the effects of avidya. These are the disadvantages. To be in a disenfranchised situation is not the true disadvantage, which people will give a lot of, emphasis on in the material world. It is not a real disadvantage. Real disadvantage is to be in ignorance, and there are effects of ignorance. So many anarthas. There's the effects of ignorance. So many anarthas, so many sinful reactions, forcing us to do more foolish activities to accumulate more anarthas and more sinful reactions. This is a disadvantage of being in the material world. Even when you're trying to get out of it, the activities you're doing to get free from it is implicating you more in the material existence. We've discussed this before, karma bandhana. This is a great disadvantage of being in the material world. It is just like, I don't know if I should say this. Anyway, it is just like churning a stool pit. This language actually used by Srila Prabhupada Maharaj in regards to a particular situation that was kind of mucky here in the ISKCON Chicago Center. So he was like, it's just like churning a stool pit. You know? So what happens if you churn a stool pit? It becomes more disgusting, isn't it? That is the situation in the material world. It is a great disadvantage. So the Supreme Lord, he is our best friend. So he is a remover of the disadvantages of his devotee. So many unwanted things in the heart. So Prabhupada's quoting that verse. Hridantasto hi abhajani vidinoti surhitsatam. He is a remover of so many anarthas, and anarthas are there because of ignorance. So ultimately, he's a remover of their ignorance. That is a disadvantage. So sometimes Krishna may take away, as we were hearing a couple of purports ago, one's opulence. one's various attachments, because it's actually disadvantage. And the devotee will never be discouraged by this. When we're a little bit too neophyte, when those things get taken away from us, it is like taking away a lollipop from a kid. Just like a kid is having lollipop, we give them these suckers. What are they called? From dum-dums. Dumb. Good dum-dums to the kids. They eat one, two, three, four like that in a row, you know? So then he's on his fifth one. Then if you should snatch it away, immediately becomes like a monster. Similarly, Krishna will remove the unwanted things from our hearts, the anarthas. And because we are attached to the anarthas, we become very angry. We become upset. But if we are understanding what it means to associate with Krishna, then this is the meaning. He removes the disadvantages as a well-wishing friend. Sometimes, just like a doctor, if you have some disease in your arm, then he may have to do some surgery. Only those who are foolish will protest the advances of the doctor. What are you doing? Are you like that? Become very angry. But one who is understanding what is the position of the doctor and what is my position, I have disease, that he will never protest the doctor doing any surgery. So when we understand what it means to associate with the Supreme Lord, and when we understand our position, we will not be discouraged by the removal of so many disadvantages. This is mentioned for the second, let's say, benefit of associating with the Supreme Lord. And then by having those unwanted things removed from the heart, the disadvantages in the form of ignorance and the results of ignorance, then Purushartha Bhajanam, then the Supreme Lord bestows the goal of life. The goal of life cannot be had before the removal of such things. As we hear, devotional service progresses from Shraddha, then next stage is Sadhu Sangha Bhajan Kriya, Anarth Nivritti comes first, right? And that's usually a long station, we'll say long station. Just like sometimes, you know, if you take the train, sometimes they go past certain stops very fast. So Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajan Kriya, you know, very fast we pass those stations, and then Anarth Nivritti station sits there 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. What is going on? That stage has to, you have to go past that station first before you can get to the end line, the end of the line, which is pure love of God. So when those disadvantages are removed, then Krishna Purushartha Bhajanam, then he bestows the goal of life to his devotee. So then an example is given to describe how this happens. Tadarshanam dvastu tamo rajo mala. So then the Supreme Lord is compared to the sun. So just as when the sun arises, all darkness is immediately dissipated. So soon as someone shall associate with the Supreme Lord and truth, then immediately all darkness is removed from his existence. And he is immediately situated on the spiritual platform. Sagunan samatitaityam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Krishna surya samamaya haya andakar. Wherever there is Krishna, there can be no question of darkness. And if there is darkness, that means there's a lack of Krishna. There's a lack of Krishna's association. So that example is given. And after that, darkness was removed by the darshan of Krishna, by actually associating with Krishna. Then gira grinan gadhaya. Then they began to offer prayers with faltered voice and great ecstasy, etc. Sometimes one may think that they're, you know, they get like a trickling of a tear coming down the eye. They think I'm having great ecstasy. And then right after they're in ecstatic moment, then they go downstairs and do something very ignorant. Because the darkness is not actually removed. Without darkness being removed, you cannot be experiencing ecstatic symptoms. That's just fact. You know, immediately he offers very beautiful prayers, great ecstatic symptoms. Then he sleeps for 5 hours in the midday. The ignorance is not removed. And there's no, this is not meant to be imitated. We should not say, okay, I'll first offer my ecstatic prayers and then I won't sleep. We should not cheat. It is not a cheating thing. Only when the darkness is removed can it be genuine. And will Krishna actually appreciate? Krishna appreciates genuineness in Krishna consciousness. He doesn't appreciate a pretense of Krishna consciousness. So even if one is very fallen, but he's very simple and genuine, Lord Chaitanya very easily accepts such a person. But if he's putting on a pretense of devotional service, a pretense of ecstasy, and struggling hard not to have his anarthas be exposed before the community of devotees, then Krishna will never appreciate such a pretense of devotional service. The Lord does not like. One is, therefore, it is mentioned, Lord Chaitanya, Patita Pavana, he's the savior of the most fallen, the most fallen. So we can honestly accept that position and apply the process of devotional service according to our position honestly. Then very easy, a person can accept the mercy of the Lord. But when one is pretentious, it's very hard to accept mercy. When one is pretentious, it's very difficult to accept. Because he doesn't accept it in a fallen situation. He thinks, I am a great, great person, great, powerful person. So, giragrinan gadaya. So ecstatic prayers were offered by the prachetas because all these other things were there. There were no darkness. So it was a very genuine prayer. And then we're going to hear that in the next series of verses. So then Srila Prabhupada's focus in the purport, interestingly enough, is that that one who is actually chanting Hare Krishna, he will experience all these effects. That's how Prabhupada's purport is reading today. That if we are actually chanting the holy name of Krishna, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which can actually only be chanted by an unalloyed devotee, that's the particular adjective Prabhupada uses here, then he's actually associating with his best friend. One who is chanting Nam is associating with his best friend, who is the remover of all disadvantages and who is the bestower of the goal of life. That's what it means to chant Hare Krishna. And then just as the sun rises and removes all darkness, when Nam actually shall dance on one's tongue, then immediately there shall be no darkness of ignorance. There should be no effect on the most material nature and their intrinsic characteristics, lust, greed, etc. One is actually chanting Nam. So then one may wonder that I am chanting Hare Krishna. I associate with Krishna for at least 16 rounds in a day, at least 2 hours in a day. I associate with Krishna. Some of us 3 hours in a day because they can't keep their head on their shoulders. So associating with Krishna throughout the day and night sometimes. But I am not experiencing these effects. This happens. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm doing the process of Krishna consciousness, but I'm not getting this effect. Why? I don't see that. Where are the ecstatic symptoms? Where are the tears? You know, Lord Chaitanya, incessant tears are pouring out of my eyes like torrents of rain. Yeah, I'm parched. famine. How do you say? Drought. Nothing's coming out. I'm chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, you know, 1.5. The new devotees think like this. I've been chanting for so long, 1.5 years, and simply drought is there. Nothing is coming out. No hair standing on end. Only when the prasadam doesn't come. Torrents of tears coming out. So then we may wonder why it's not happening. So then the question is, are we actually chanting Hare Krishna? So this is easily understood by a story that Srila Prabhupada tells, also Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur tells the same story, of the one time there was a jar of honey, and it had a transparent, it was inside of a transparent jar. So then the honeybee saw that and said, oh, good deal, sweet deal. So he went up to the jar of honey, and he began to lick it. You know, honeybee. Actually, I was watching when we were on MSF day, we were by Fullerton, and I was sitting next to the many plants, they have flowers there, and I was actually watching the bees, you know, because I was a little nervous that they were kind of flying around. So I got a little nervous, so I was seeing them. It was really interesting to see how they like stick their face in the flower. I mean, we know they take the nectar, but I never saw before, so it was just like a cool image to see the bee like stick his face into the flower. So he was like that, trying to stick his face into the glass, you know, and he began licking the jar of honey, and he thought, I am tasting honey. This is very nice. Then he flew away. But he never actually tasted the honey. He never actually tasted the honey. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta gives a purport. The purport is essentially this, that one may be having opportunity to associate with Krishna in the form of the deity, in the form of his name, in the form of his devotees, in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, but never actually associate with them. One has opportunity, but one is not actually associating with them. He quotes a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Aprakrita Vastu Nahe Pakrita Gochar. He says, because spiritual substance, apakrita vastu, spiritual substance is always beyond the jurisdiction of material conception. Spiritual substance is always beyond the jurisdiction of material conception. So unless one's material conceptions are eradicated, then no question of association. There's no question of association. Unless the material conceptions are eradicated, when one has so many, what is a material conception? I am to be served. Savior Abhimana, I am God. This is called the Purusha Abhimana. I am God. Basically, I am to be served. This is the material conception. So he thinks that the holy name is meant to serve him by giving him ecstatic symptoms. He's thinking like this, the holy name should serve me. He comes before the deity, he comes to see the deity. He never thinks that I'm supposed to be seen by the deity. That thought never crosses his mind. He thinks, I will see the deity, as if the deity is not apakrita vastu. Apakrita vastu means, adokshaja. Adokshaja, you know? We hear this word, Christians call it adokshaja, beyond the purview of the senses. We hear that Krishna is beyond the purview, but then we think, I will go and see the deity. So we barge up to the front, especially if you go to Vrindavan, especially during Kartik time. You will be, this is not meant to be offense or anything to the devotees, but it's quite amazing how everyone, they're pushing and barging, knock you over. Sometimes you know, someone will push you like this, and you look up, and it's like a very old Mataji. She's like 75 years old, but she like almost knocks you down, you know, to take darshan and the deities. This is going on. No one ever thinks that maybe Krishna will be displeased by my, you know, hustling and tussling like this through the devotees. No one thinks like that Krishna is seeing that. Bhaktisiddhanta's pastime, once he came to the temple and he didn't bring his glasses. So then one disciple said, oh, Bhaktisiddhanta, should I go and get your glasses so you can see the deity? And Bhaktisiddhanta said, no need. I'll just stand behind a devotee. And that way, if Krishna shall see that devotee, then maybe I'll be fortunate enough for Krishna's glance to follow me also. Because Bhaktisiddhanta understood, I'm not coming to see the deity. I've come to be seen by the deity. But unfortunately, due to material conception, we think opposite, right? Ishade petasha vipariyo ashmitihi. We get a reverse conception of life. I am to see the deity. Then we come approach the Bhagavatam. I'm going to read the Bhagavatam and I'm going to understand it on the merit of my deep study. But these things are all apakrita vastu. They're all spiritual substance. And they cannot be, entered into without great mercy. That great mercy which can remove material conception. So Prabhupada is saying, he's giving about chanting Hare Krishna here. Only when one is actually chanting Nam shall he experience all these effects. But in order to actually be associating with Nam, one has to actually be rid of all material conceptions. That should not be discouraging, but it should make us sober in our understanding of the process of Krishna consciousness. One has to actually become... So therefore, chanting of Hare Krishna develops in three stages. There are three stages of chanting Hare Krishna. First stage is called Nam Aparad. Second stage is called as the clearing stage, or Namabhas stage. And the last stage is called as the stage of chanting purely, Shudanam stage. So the Shudanam is the full-blown name of Krishna, which has the Nija Sarva Shaktis, it has all the potencies of Krishna. That name is Shudanam. So we are to come to the point of chanting Shudanam by destruction of the material conception. So first thing is to give up Nam Aparad. How many of us are deeply aware of what is the Nam Aparad? What is the Nam Aparadam name? We, of course, recite every morning. Number one, this. Number two, this. If I ask you, what is the sixth offense of the chanting of the holy name? What's your answer? So you got to go through the list, isn't it? Then you have to go through the list. What is the sixth offense, you know? See? Huh? Anyway, you already had time to go through the list in your mind. That's what I'm saying. We have to go through the list in the mind. And even if you can repeat, like a parrot can repeat, anyone can repeat, oh, this is offense, but who knows what is the purport of that understanding? How do we know we're not becoming victimized by committing that a particular offense? We don't know. We're simply reciting. But how many of us actually know deeply what is the offense? Many times we are looking for newer understandings in Krishna consciousness, without seeing to it that we've got the older and older understandings in Krishna consciousness foundationally situated. Understand? Just like how many of us know what is the purport to all these offenses? We know? Anyone knows very deeply? You can think? No, we will simply speculate. If someone shall ask us, what is this offense? We'll go through our memory banks and we'll start speculating something because we don't actually know the purport. So first, we have to give up nama-parad. To give up nama-parad, we have to understand what is the nama-paradam. So then that is given by Srila Prabhupada, of course, and if it was Namamrita book, but particularly I like to point our attention to Harinam Chintamani. Srila Prabhupada Maharaj has given a series of lectures on his website on this Harinam Chintamani, which basically is a book which just goes through the different offenses, what they are and how to overcome them. Then when one can give up Namparad, then he comes to the clearing stage of chanting. The clearing stage of chanting means that there are still the effects of avidya and anarthas there. Therefore, he cannot chant purely. Avidya and anarthas are compared to clouds which cover the sun of the holy name of Krishna. They're compared to clouds which cover it. Just like when there's a cloud, of course, the cloud cannot cover the sun, but it can cover our vision of the sun. So similarly, the holy name cannot be covered by anything, but it can cover our experience of the true name because there are big clouds there that are blocking. So you cannot remove the cloud by your own merit. No one can, just like when a cloud is blocking, has anyone been able to ever remove by their own strength the cloud? Anyone's been able to remove? That cloud is blocking my, you know, someone goes for tanning on the beach or something, you know. Sometimes you see. You shouldn't see too much. Sometimes you may see if you go to the beach. So when it's tanning there and then cloud comes, they cannot say, hey, you know, get out of the way. But it is beyond your strength to remove. Understand? So similarly, we have avidya, we have anarthas. We cannot remove them on our own strength. Sometimes someone is trying very hard to practice Krishna consciousness on his own merit, on his own strength. He thinks he will do it. It's not possible to do. So then how are the anarthas and the ignorance removed? So that is mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur particularly. It is removed by the mercy of Guru, who gives the instructions of Upadeshamrita. Actually, in his Bhajana Rahasya, when he discusses removing anarthas and avidya, he points our attention to Upadeshamrita for the removal of those things. Following Upadeshamrita under the guidance of a devotee, this is called as offenseless chanting. Offenseless chanting. How many of us know deeply Upadeshamrita purport? It maybe takes us 11 minutes to read Upadeshamrita. It's 11 verses, 11 minutes. Many people didn't think it was a very significant book, but in the sadhaka's life, it is one of the most significant literatures, actually. You can give spontaneously a class just by knowing Upadeshamrita very strongly and make it very, you know, meaningful for people, practical. So when one shall know these instructions and follow them under the guidance of Guru, then he removes anarthas, he removes ignorance, he comes to the platform of chanting purely. His material conceptions are crushed. But generally, this takes some time. It's not that it happens overnight. It generally does not happen overnight. So we want to come to the platform of chanting purely so we can experience these effects, gain the goal of life. But unless we take the foundational things very seriously, there's no question of deep Krishna consciousness, no question. I went to New York, and one young man came to me asking some very various questions about Siddhanta and things that, well, why does ISKCON say this about the fall down of the jiva and this thing and that thing? And so we were discussing a little bit. So I asked him a question. I said, well, first of all, let us discuss Niyamagraha. You know what is Niyamagraha, right? And he said, He was telling me about gopis and manjaris and hearing higher katha. He said, I need to only hear pure Krishna katha, he was telling me. So I said, okay, that's very nice, actually, very wonderful desire. Let's talk about Niyamagraha. You know what is Niyamagraha? Then he looked at me. I said, you don't know what is Niyamagraha? He said, no. I said, what is the situation? You want the highest thing, but you're not prepared to pay the price. Highest thing we want, but we're not prepared to pay the price. We're not prepared to accept the conception of... don't mind my... I'm going to use a particular language. Eternal slavery in relationship to Krishna. I use the word slavery because a slave, you know, generally he doesn't get any respect, doesn't get any pay, and he has to work very, very hard. This is the basic idea of a slave. And we're supposed to have that. That is the position we should accept first in relationship to Krishna. Means when we're able to work hard all day, the 24-hour period, and not feel aversion to Krishna, then Krishna can see that our service, menial service attitude is actually being evolved. But as soon as we show, of course, we're not trying to be totally impractical here. I'm just making a general point. It's not meant to be taken too... Actually, it's meant to be taken seriously, no doubt about it. But I know the first thing the mind is saying, well, what about this, what about this? Set that aside. First thing is that this point should be understood. I should be able to render service during the 24-hour period and not feel aversion towards Krishna when I'm doing that. Then he will see that there's some seva muk there. Not, of course, not working hard just with the body, but with the mind and with the words also working very hard. Working hard to think only of Krishna. Just like sometimes we don't want to think always of Krishna, isn't it? Sometimes you want to take a break and think of some sense gratification, you know? It's like, okay. Whew, okay. Relief, you know? You know, you take a moment to contemplate some sense gratification and go back. You know, I have to work hard to think only of Krishna and the orders of Guru and all these things. It takes hard work. And hard work to control one's speech, not to become unnecessarily frivolous and so on. So when Krishna sees we're prepared to work like that, 24-hour period, just like Guru, who is that? Prabhupada disciple, Guru Das? Remember Guru Das? This story we've told many times, where he went, one day he was working all day, 12 hours in a day for Srila Prabhupada. He brought Srila Prabhupada back a check of like $200,000, like a huge amount of money. And, you know, it's pretty significant service, 12 hours a day. And then he put it on the desk of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada didn't even look at it. He didn't say anything. Then Guru Das went to go and take rest, and shortly thereafter, ring, Prabhupada started ringing the bell. So Guru Das had to get up. He came over, and Prabhupada said, where were you? Why was it taking so long? He said, Srila Prabhupada, I was taking rest. Prabhupada said, why are you taking rest? Our practice is 24 hours a day. And then Guru Das said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I'm not a Paramahamsa. Prabhupada said, why are you not a Paramahamsa? And then Guru Das started crying. He tells in the memories, he said he started crying. You know, he was just working 12 hours a day, slaving hard for Srila Prabhupada, brought back this huge amount of money. Prabhupada didn't even acknowledge that, you know, this is eternal slavery. Prabhupada didn't even acknowledge that. He chastised him rather. And so Guru Das just started crying, you know, started crying. How is this so? So when we can take it like that and not feel the aversion towards Krishna and our Guru, why Guru is giving me so much of service I cannot do? That time Krishna will see that we've developed a real seva muk. That means the material conception is losing ground. It means it's losing ground. But so long as we cannot serve in that way, that means the material conception has completely captured our mind. There's no question of chanting Hare Krishna. Therefore, you know, japa period, we're like... No taste. Sometimes, I don't mind. We're all doing, most of us are doing. Even while walking, standing. Because the material conception isn't losing ground. Because our service attitude hasn't been evolved. Our service, even when we're feeling tired, when we have deep service attitude, whatever it takes, I will chant attentively. I'll not fail to do so. Like this is the idea. Don't mind. We all are struggling with this thing. So this is my main thing I wanted to say, that when we are able to, first conception in Krishna consciousness, I'm using this language, don't mind, eternal slave consciousness. That is the first thing that should be. Then we'll speak of Madhurya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa. So, not that you jump from mode of ignorance to Madhurya Rasa. How is that possible? From mode of ignorance, you jump to Madhurya Rasa? From mode of ignorance, you jump to eternal slavery. Not even jump, you have to come to that position. Eternal. I'm using the language slavery. It's not an exact proper, it's not like it's devoid of love, you know, from Krishna's side or our side. But it's this idea that Srila Prabhupada used to brag to the reporters how my devotees don't get paid. He used to love to make that point to the reporters. They're working hard, 24 hours of the day, they don't get paid, no vacations. Huh? And what else? What else we were saying? No, no sense gratification, no prestige, no privacy, no, not your own space. no holidays, just like where Bhaktamata isn't here. Bhaktamata was like, sometimes I just want to be away from the devotees. I mentioned this the other class. And then I said, Bhaktamata, how will you live in a spiritual world? Even your sleeping bag will be a person. You should get inside your sleeping bag and you say, Prabhu, what's wrong? Ah! I want to go back to the material world where I can have my semblance of privacy. Huh? This is Krishna conscious life. Especially we're living in an ashram and serving here all the time. No question of separate interests. That is the thing that is being worked on here in this Krishna conscious center. So unless we're willing to accept that, then how we will chant Hare Krishna? Simply be licking honey bottle and then not getting the effects of Krishna consciousness. And we should go on licking honey bottle for so many years. And when we will get old, we'll develop many doubts about Krishna consciousness. So it is important for us to understand now the real thing and pay the price to get the real thing. And then experience all these beautiful effects. Have the experience of actually associating with your real friend when you chant Hare Krishna, who removes all disadvantages, who appears like the sun, removing all darkness in the heart like that. So that's my idea. That I wanted to share for the class today. Anyone want to, I saw you wanted to say something. You finished.
I guess I sort of answered my own question, but sort of wondering, you know, what is the grounding? Because it seems like you could go forever, you know. I mean, it seems like you could go forever. Getting grounding, you know, or like I say, it's like with training, like they always say, you know, for devotees, get trained up, and obviously you need training. But
no, it should not take forever. Krishna consciousness is as gradual as we want to make it.
Right, I just mean at what point are you ready, you know, or, because it seems like there's never a point that you're ever going to achieve, you know, it's like chanting, it's like we start chanting, we're not qualified, you know, we're completely impure, and chanting so offensively. But we still chant.
Well, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, one becomes, and this is a discussion given by our acharyas, particularly Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, that when our faith, first of all, our faith has to come to the stage of nishta. That's the first thing that should be developed, is nishta, fixity. And then Bhaktisiddhanta particularly mentions ruchi. At the stage of ruchi, one gains the sufficient adhikar for higher pursuit. I mean, I'm getting the gist of your question. Many times devotees, the question is when do we develop, basically in short, when do we develop adhikar for, you know, hearing higher levels of katha and a higher level of activities, etc., etc. Is that the basic gist of it?
Or at what point are we qualified to do so?
Yeah, adhikar means qualification, eligibility for doing so. So Bhaktisiddhanta, this is mentioned by Rupa Goswami also, that first there should be nishta, there should be steadiness. And then from there, one should move progressively towards ruchi. Progressively doesn't mean very slow. With nishta, then one moves pretty quickly towards pure devotion to Krishna. And at that stage, one would have genuine eagerness for hearing about those things. You understand? There's just like, if I shall tell you that this is the highest thing, naturally, with a big false ego like I have, I deserve the best and the highest thing. I don't deserve anything.
Anyway?
Huh?
Don't we need to have that attitude?
The attitude there's two stages of it. The one stage that I'm mentioning about, which is our stage usually, is out of false ego. Well, if this is the best thing, then I deserve it. And it is not because of desire for serving Krishna, but it's desire for enjoying myself. So, therefore, it is not a genuine loba. And the loba should be genuine. So, it is mentioned by Prabhupada in Nectar Devotion that unless one has cleared 75% of anarthas, anarthana vritti will go on all the way up into the higher stages of devotional service. But, you know, nasya prayeshu abhijeshu, you know, almost all the anarthas are gone. Prabhupada says 75% in the lecture. There, at that stage, one's loba will be genuine. Otherwise, it is just basically to give expression to my big false ego that I'm hearing the higher katha, I'm on this platform. And those things are subtle. We may, by self-delusion think that we're not becoming proud. Just like the neophyte devotee in the beginning stages of Bhajana Kriya, this is discussed in Madhurya Kandamini, the first problem that he has is Utsahamayi, that he thinks I'm a very pure devotee. And he doesn't, that is not at the foreground of his consciousness. Try to understand. At the foreground of his consciousness is the thoughts are coming, I am very fallen, I am insignificant. That's what's coming at the foreground. But in the background of his consciousness, pure devotee. And Utsahamayi, this is the first dilemma. And the practice, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says the first dilemma that a sadhaka has in his bhajan kriya activity is this problem. So therefore, without actually, we're not saying that we should be grounded with our feet grounded and our vision also grounded, you know, completely grounded to the material platform. We have our sights set on the goal, but we have to also know where we're at to move effectively toward the goal. Otherwise, we create obstacles for ourselves. This is discussed in Bhajan Rasa also by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Sve sve adhikaraya nishta saguna parikirtita viparayos tudoshasha ubayar eva nishtaya. He says, what is piety and what is impiety? He discusses this point. Piety means that one remains nishta, fixed, according to his adhikar. And when he does so, then he moves very eloquently to the next stage. There's like this stage of devotional service, and then there's like down here, the material platform. And in between, there are different stages of development. And each stage has different rules that are applicable to that particular stage. And when one applies the rules on the stage in which he is situated, then he can very eloquently move to the next stage.
But what are the rules in terms of hearing the
Kama? Yeah, so then the first thing is hear 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam and assimilate its message in terms of its practice. That is the adhikara, and that has to be done under the guidance of Guru. Because no one can, as I've already mentioned, because these are apakrita vastu, this spiritual substance, we don't have access to the spiritual platform without descent from that platform for bringing us up to that level. So we need the actual guidance of spiritual masters required. That doesn't mean the MP3 player guidance. Not that type of guidance, which is very popular in the world today. I'll go and hear this MP3 lecture, and I choose what I want to hear. I don't get to ask any questions. That type of guidance is not what is mentioned in the shastras. In the shastras, there were no MP3 players around. There were no computers around. So although these things can be somewhat useful, I tend to feel that they create disadvantages into the true understanding of what hearing is supposed to be. Because people think, I'll just go on the computer and then, you know, and then, but how is that the process of hearing? No, Guru is supposed to be able to speak to you what he wants to speak to you, not what I want to hear. You know, that is called pranipatina, right? Krishna says pranipatina. And then you have to be able to ask questions when there is misunderstanding. So if we have to do our own research on the matter, then we will be easily misled because it's transcendental and we have material conceptions which are blocking our ability to move progressively. So it is imperative that one understands the indispensable necessity of the guidance of a proper spiritual authority. And then they will choose what to speak to us. And in that way, we move progressively toward. We can also express our desires toward them and so on, and they can understand that. And then according to our adhikar, they will give the medicine at which we progress further. It is not that it has to take a very, very long time. I think with the Western mentality, to be honest with you, we are very impatient, and therefore we become restless. You know, I want the thing yesterday. That type of mentality. So that is also Upadeshamrita. One should be patient, you know. And what is patience? Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when one thinks that even if it shall take me 100 lifetimes, I'm gonna go for that thing. He said that attitude is called patience. Now, if I were to tell that in general, everyone would immediately get up and go, oh, this process takes too long. No, but he said that attitude is called patience. That even if it shall take me 100 lifetimes, then I'm going to go for it. Even if it takes me, just like Mukunda Dutt, Mahaprabhu said, 1 million years, millions of years, you'll be able to see me. After millions of years, you'll see me. Then Mukunda Dutt, snore out of the room. He went into ecstasy. Because what is 1 million years on the eternal time continuum? It's nothing. And Mahaprabhu has already given his assurance that definitely you will see me. So he only focused on that point, that definitely I'll see him. So he just started dancing, went to ecstasy, and Mahaprabhu said, okay, now you can come, you know? And Bhaktisiddhanta comments in the purport that seeing his enthusiasm, that he didn't get even slightly discouraged by the fact that Mahaprabhu said after millions of years, he said that enthusiasm destroyed the amount of time that it was going to take to see him. So actually it was going to take him millions of years because of his offense of hearing Mayavad philosophy. Mahaprabhu said actually it was going to take you millions of years, but your great enthusiasm just crushed that amount of time because he didn't get disheartened that even if it should take me so long, I will see Mahaprabhu. He went into ecstasy. So we have to admit, honestly, think about it honestly. If we were to hear after millions of lives, you know, of repeated birth and death and all the things that come with it, how many of us would be able to dance in the kirtan and ecstasy after that? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We'd not be able to do it. We have to admit. Just like another story is there, this story of Krishna's headache. He needed foot dust to cure his headache. No devotees wanted to give it. Finally, the gopis gave it. Narada Muni got bewildered. Do you know what's going to happen to you for giving the foot dust? Oh, yes, we'll go to hell eternally. But we are ready to go to hell eternally to relieve Krishna's headache for one moment. For one moment. If I can relieve Krishna's headache for one moment, I'll go to hell eternally. Now, we feel horrified when we hear that. Horrified. Eternally? Maybe if his headache was permanently removed, I might think about it. You know? But you mean remove his headache for one moment, I'm going to go to hell eternally and suffer eternally? How many of us can honestly say that we're having such pure desire? Now, we're not saying that such pure desire can't be evolved. It can be evolved by the process of Krishna consciousness. So we should take the process of Krishna consciousness. It is a spiritual science. It is not, Prabhupada says in Upadeshamrita, it's not a question of, speculative, imaginative ecstasy and speculative something. I forgot. I just read it yesterday, but I forgot. It is not an imaginative process. You know, just we imagine that. It is a scientific process. So just as if you want to learn a particular science, you go to the teacher. We go to a qualified teacher and learn the science and we move progressively forward. That is an honest person. And even if it shall take me 100 lifetimes or millions of lifetimes, like Mukunda Das, that is supposed to be the attitude. So we're not saying remain grounded, you know, forever and ever and ever. We're just saying get grounded. First, we got to get grounded. One time my godbrother, he went to our spiritual master and said, Guru Maharaj, how can I remain humble? My Guru Maharaj said, first of all, get humble, and then we'll talk about how you remain humble. First dilemma is there. You're not even humble. First problem is there. Get humble. Then we'll discuss how you're going to get humble. So in the same way, first we should get grounded. We're not grounded, actually. Well, we can say we're grounded in a whole bunch of material sense gratification. Totally grounded. But we should get grounded on the spiritual platform. And then that works as a springboard into, you know, other levels of Krishna consciousness. So it takes honesty. Honesty is the best policy. You know, we grew up hearing that. It has a profound purport. Anyone else wants to say anything? There are a few minutes left, 5 minutes left, if you want to.
Maybe you could share some more thoughts on this, just to turn the topic further. The way you explained it is very nice. But the whole process rests, Srila Prabhupada says the whole process rests on having a spiritual conception of life where there's no chance for sense gratification. But to get there, the whole process rests on having confidence in the person who you are expressing in that way is the one who will help us attain that service attitude that brings us to the spiritual platform. So the whole process actually rests on having confidence in that person who will engage us like that. So I was... Maybe you could discuss or share some insights on how within this setup that Srila Prabhupada's given us, we can always access that. Because even in Srila Prabhupada's time, there were persons who he gave as leaders, and you know, you might think like, why would people serve, you know, selflessly under such a personality? But many persons achieved, you know, advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Even though serving personalities who weren't of like the best qualities,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, so in other words, like their concern wasn't so much is this person you can say, is this person qualified from my perspective? Rather, they had an understanding somehow of what service is supposed to be, and they engaged themselves, and they received the result from that. So Srila Prabhupada, what I'm saying is he gave that whole setup for it to be successful, but there's a way to approach it so that regardless of the circumstances, you know, you can still achieve the goal. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I think I kind of caught you. Okay. Oh, you can't hear properly. Okay, yeah.
Maybe I can give a 2-second synopsis of it. Yeah, it's in other words, regardless of the person who is, if I am the person who is, you're supposed to be serving and I'm not qualified or something or whatever, you don't maybe have confidence in me independently, how do you still achieve that level of selfless service? Because it's possible to do so, I'm saying, based on what we've seen in Srila Prabhupada's institution.
I'm going to try my very best. I don't know if I'll hit the mark of what you're saying. But in short, the person you're speaking of who may have been serving under persons who weren't very qualified, but they had the order of their guru, which they kept in their heart. And from that, everything came. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Khoi, Sarva, what is that? Lava Mantra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi, that even a moment's association, all perfections can be achieved. Even in the moment's association with a great soul. That means in the moment of association, if you take to heart, which is not a very easy thing to do, but if one shall be somehow or other take it to heart, then from that, the seed of all perfection is there. So in my understanding, despite external circumstances, which have been very unfavorable ordinarily, and in their heart was the mission of their guru, which they never gave up. And because of that quality, then all auspiciousness is achieved in any situation. Just like I quoted that verse the other day, that the one who is actually purified by devotional service, he never gives up the lotus feet of Krishna because they fully satisfy him, like a traveler who is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. And Prabhupada's comment in the purport is that he never gives up the lotus feet of Krishna because he's ordered by his spiritual master, which means there's an affectionate tie there. I've been given this service, and that service is my life. And that is my life. Without that service, I have no life. He's thinking like that, because Prabhupada says like that. It's my life and soul. So, if my service, just like Srila Prabhupada Maharaj likes to talk about one devotee in Vrindavan, what was his name? He would give the Charanamrita. Vibhu Chaitanya. Yeah, Vibhu Chaitanya. That's all he did for, 30 years. He was a cook also? Cook, and that's all. He didn't do any other. Prabhupada said, be here, don't leave this place. That's what he did. And so he never left his service to Krishna because it was ordered by his spiritual master. And from that, all can be achieved. You know, Srila Prabhupada Maharaj tells that when he would have just a little bit of that khichdi, that he wouldn't feel hungry for the rest of the day. I'm like, that's powerful. I would like some of that khichdi. I'm feeling hungry throughout the day. So all can be achieved for those persons who shall take such things to heart like that in any situation. But the fact, so that has to be there, that affectionate tie has to be there. And he thinks, this is the service that is given to him, this is my life. If it's just boiling milk and giving it, I'll boil milk for the rest of my life. Boss, I won't do anything else. If that should be the order. We are usually requiring so many variety of things because nothing is satisfying, you know. So how will we go to the spiritual world? You hear like Narottam Das Thakur, he's eternally, he boils milk eternally for Radha and Krishna and brings it. That's his service. I'm like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know about this spiritual reality like this. So my service is being given to me. I take that as my life and soul. If someone shall take away my service, then it's like taking away my life. I cannot give it up. If that attitude shall come, then all auspiciousness, definitely a person will become fully Krishna conscious because Krishna will see and he'll appreciate. So there, one time, I'll end with this because it's late. One time, I was at UFC distributing books and I went to give an SSR to one young man. And the first thing he said to me is, why are all your Goswamis falling down? That was the first thing he said to me. I was like, wow, sounds like fighting words in my heart. I was being playful in my heart. And I said, well, what does that have to do with you and your making spiritual advancement? So he got bewildered because I just immediately shot, well, what does that have to do with you and your making spiritual advancement? I said, even if the whole institution shall be filled up with crooks and criminals, even if that were the case, it is not the case. Even if it were the case, if Krishna shall want you to have something genuine, a bona fide association, then not even that situation will be able to prevent such association happening. And even if you're in a place full of tons of swan-like persons, if Krishna does not want you to have that, you will not get it. Huh? So it is a question of your sincerity of heart. So Krishna is in your heart. He sees what you want. So even if you're surrounded by cheaters and there's only one genuine person there, if you're sincerely wanting that, Krishna will arrange for you to get that genuine person, even amidst a field of so many unwanted elements. And even if everyone in the room is completely saintly and only one crook is there, if you're not genuine, you'll be attracted to that crook and you'll not get it. So it is a question of our own sincerity. When Krishna shall see, then he gives everything. He's in the heart. He knows what is in the heart. So we shall take our service in that mentality. So we're not having association of our guru, let's say. But we feel this service has been given to me by my guru. It is my life and soul. Someone shall take away this service. That is like taking away my life. That I have no life outside of that. He shall think in that way, genuinely. Obviously, it's not an easy thing. This is all described. I'm thinking of very specific purports when I say these things. Then when Krishna sees that, then he bestows the goal of life. Even in the most calamitous situation, he'll give the highest thing. But even if we're in the best of situation, our whole attitude is totally non-serious, lackadaisical, whatever, apathetic, then not benefit at all. Not benefit at all. So as far as I can see, to be honest with you, when you said that, I was thinking of my spiritual master, you know, the whole New Vrindavan situation, and because it's very bewildering how, you know, anyway, not going into the details. But we see that he followed that, this is my service. He often mentioned that when he was serving Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, he thought he would never leave New Vrindavan. I thought that was what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life. I'll never go back to Vrindavan. I'll never leave this place. This is my service. He often mentions that that's what he was thinking. After 11 years, they made him take sannyas. They wanted him to take sannyas. He would not agree to take sannyas. They said, if you take sannyas, you'll be able to go to Vrindavan. So he said, oh. He mentions like this in a playful sort of way. But his whole mentality in the beginning was that this is what Prabhupada has given me. So, boss, that's it. That's my life. You know, closed chapter. You know, chapter is closed. This is my existence. So then from there, you know, he went other places and so much auspiciousness, you know, came. So it is a question of, ultimately, although we're in a sangha of devotees, Krishna sees everyone on a personal level. So it's not like I joined the right institution or church and therefore I'm definitely going back. He sees what is going on an individual level. So this individual responsibility is very important. And we are taking help from our association to develop this attitude, which needs to be developed on the individual level. No one can force it. It is a free will choice. So my understanding, I don't know if I hit the mark of what you were asking, but basically they really took it as their life and soul. So this authority, that authority, but fixed in the service that was given to them by their spiritual master. And Krishna really appreciates, oh, how nice. This person is so fixed, then he bestows the goal of life. That's all I can say. I don't know if I hit the mark. So I'm sorry, I went over today. I didn't mean to do that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.